Blog Talk Radio.
Tudor, 1516. She was the surviving child between the relationship between Catherine of Aragon, who was Henry's first wife, staunch Roman Catholic, and Henry VIII. And she survived of all those children. There were, I think, 10 stillborns. She was known as Bloody Mary because she was a staunch Catholic. She was abused by Anne Boleyn, who later lost her head, and there was claims that they tried to poison her. And when Henry VIII died, or his son Edward succeeded, the product of progeny of Jane Seymour and Henry, and so Mary is the eldest and daughter succeeded, but she lasted 5 years. And she was Jane even with all of the reformers, so called. And she was known as Bloody Mary because she had several of these Protestants executed. She died of cancer. She was supposed to marry Philip II, but the marriage was never, as I understand it, consummated. In 1853, August Belmont, he was a horse breeder, and I think the Belmont races in New York are a product of his creativity and named after him. The great Jewish writer, Shalom Aleichem, or Solomon Rabinowitz, born in 1859. You wouldn't believe it, but Adolf Menju, born in 1890, was from Pittsburgh. And in one of his best films was Paths of Glory, where he played a political general, and Kirk Douglas and George McCready. Great film. Did several films of the 30s, was a conservative Republican in Hollywood. Another great actor, born in New York, Edward Arnold. A great film where he played a war a profiteer, and later his family turned against him and he went to jail. Great writer, Boris Pasternak, was born today. The Republican candidate for in 1940, this is unusual. He was a liberal from Indiana. Can you believe that? And he was also slammed as the barefoot boy from Wall Street. He was a lawyer. His family, his father and mother, were both lawyers. And his mother was the first woman lawyer in Indiana. It was a German heritage. And he was a liberal internationalist. And here is a statement that he made at the 1940 campaign. Let me get it here. Bring it up here. Wendell Willkie. Come on, Wendell. Here we go. And is this, these statements, are they relevant to what's going on in America today?
Because I am a businessman, of which, incidentally, I am very proud and was formerly connected with a large company, the doctrinaires of the opposition have attempted to picture me as an opponent of liberalism. But I was a liberal before many of those men heard the word, and I fought for the reforms of the elder La Follette and Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson before another Roosevelt adopted and distorted the word liberal. I believe that the forces of free enterprise must be regulated. I'm opposed to business monopolies. I believe in the right of collective bargaining by labor without any interference and full protection of that obvious right. I believe in minimum standards for wages and maximum standards for hours, and I believe that such standards should constantly improve. I'm in favor of the regulation of interstate utilities, of banking, of the security markets. I believe in federal pensions, in adequate old age benefits, and in unemployment allowances. I believe that the federal government owes a duty to adjust the position of the farmer with that of the manufacturer. If this cannot be done by parity prices, then some other method must be found without too much regimentation of the farmer's affairs. I believe in the encouragement of cooperative buying and selling and in the full extension of rural electrification. And I believe that the federal government owes a very strong obligation to preserve our natural resources. But I do not base my claim to liberalism solely upon my support and advocacy of such reforms. American liberalism does not consist merely in reforming things. It consists primarily in making things. We must substitute for the philosophy of distributed scarcity the philosophy of unlimited productivity. I stand for the restoration of full production and re-employment in American private enterprise. Present administration has spent $60 billion. The New Deal stands for doing what has to be done by spending as much money as possible. I propose to do it by spending as little as money as possible. This is one issue in this campaign that I intend to make crystal clear before the conclusion of the campaign so that everybody in this country may understand the tremendous waste of their resources and money that have taken place in the last 7.5 years.
Now that was Wendell Willkie. His vice presidential candidate, running mate, Charles McNary, died within 6 months. And it was unusual. This is the only other part of death in American history of a vice president was that of Rufus Duvain King, who was James Buchanan's vice president, and he died after being inaugurated and sworn into office. He died, I think, he caught tuberculosis, I think, in Cuba, and he lasted 30 days. A lot of questions about the relationship. They had shared lodgings, as it was called in those days, for about 15 years, and Buchanan was supposed to have been our, and Duquesne, Rufus Duvain King was supposed to be our first gay vice president and president. They also accuse, today they're accusing Abraham Lincoln of this, the successor to Buchanan, just because Lincoln shared a bed with Herndon, his and Joshua Speed, who was very good looking, and he was a lawyer. But in those days, there wasn't a Motel 5 or Hyatt House or Hilton or Sheraton. So a lot of this is specious, we think. And having a connection to the Todd family, when I was in college, we used to double date one of daughters, great-granddaughters of the Todd family. There was mental illness in that family. It's unfortunate. Among the other birthdays today, George Gipper. Now, you've heard that Newt Rockne film, Make One for the Gipper. Was a famous football player. And, of course, Ronald Reagan used that phrase, Make One for the Gipper. Politician, Canadian, known as the Daily of Canada, Jean Drapeau, Mayor of Montreal, and Quebec, and he a lot of corruption in his administrations. I was in there for about 25 years. There's mafia also in Canada, believe it or not. And also he was responsible, along with Pierre Trudeau, for Expo 67, which was celebrating Canada's 100 years as a confederation. Another great actor today, a couple of them, Jack Palance, whose name was actually Walter Polonnik. You know, they always change names. He used to play villain roles. He would look like a villain. Barbara Hale, who played the secretary in Perry Mason. Publisher Helen Gurley Brown, who did Cosmo. Another actor, George Kennedy. I don't know if this guy's an actor, but he was a senator. He did serve in the U.S. Navy, and he was the husband, one of the husbands of Elizabeth Taylor. John Warner, who was from Virginia, was also a U.S. senator. He was told about the Steve Nary case and other U.S. Navy sailors, but he didn't do anything. Another director, Czech, Miloš Forman, born today. Another actress who I have we both shared the same speech teacher, Professor Dolly Thornston at Rudd College. And, of course, I used to sit in the seat that Kim Novak used to sit in. Sit in several years before me, and I don't know if Kim remembers Dolly Thornton. She didn't make many movies. She married. She was first married to Richard Johnson. That was a divorce. He's dead. She married a veterinarian, and she's the only one in America that's allowed to raise llamas. And she was from the what was known as Wicker Park in Chicago. Yoko Ono, born today. I understand she's a real wretch. Really manipulated John Lennon. I'll say no more. Great Italian composer, conductor of Detroit Symphony, and I think a pianist, Aldo Ciccato. John Travolta, who's got some scandals, according to the National Enquirer. I'll leave that there. Among the deaths today, 1898, the woman who founded the Women's Christian Temperance Union, Frances Willard, great boxer James Corbett, Robert Oppenheimer, who was accused, the father of the atomic bomb, was a suspected communist sympathizer. The FBI tapped his phone, so he did have problems. Harry Glenglass was one of the people connected to the theft of the atomic bomb, was related to the Rosenbergs, and then there was Klaus Fuchs across in Britain. A German communist who was also involved in the theft of the secrets of the atomic bomb, which were given to the Soviets, which enabled them to make a bomb. Then we had a notorious gangster, Frank Costello. Among the other deaths, we had Raymond Moley, getting back to the 1940 election, FDR and Wendell Willkie. Raymond Moley was part of what Roosevelt called his brain trust. He was the people who came up with these ideas. John Kennedy had something similar. I guess he imitated FDR. And then the great music who translated Frederick Delius was blind, but he was a great composer. He went blind. Eric Fenby did his transposing to paper of Delius's many works, and Eric lived to be about 90. Eric Fenby, great work that he did. Unfortunately, he did this work, and Frederick Delius's work was preserved because Delius went blind. Harry Carey, who was the Chicago Cubs announcer, died on this day. Among the events, Henry Tudor became Prince of Wales on this day, and also, of course, his daughter, 10 years later, was born, Mary, the product of his relationship with Catherine of Aragon. In 1787, the Austrian Emperor, this was one of the first, he banned child labor involving children under 8 years old. If you were 8.5 or 9, I guess they could use you in the shops. In 1804, the first land grant college was set up in Ohio. I don't know if this is accurate because Abraham Lincoln in 1863, his administration passed the Land Grant Act, where land was given to states provided that they set up universities and colleges. The first filibuster, which lasted nearly a month, in 1841. It went from this date, February 18th, to March 11th. Can you imagine that? Boy. And, of course, they stopped to drink water. That was one of the most stupid things of picking on Marco Rubio, because he had to wet his whistle so he could continue with his rebuttal to the State of the Disunion speech of Mr. O. For people who columnists who did this kind of tacky news writing about Rubio getting a drink, when you are in a debate forum, if your throat is dry or you're getting harsh, and you want people to understand what you're saying, and if you're and come across with a clear clarion voice, you wet your whistle. There's nothing wrong with taking a glass of water, so long as you didn't. There are some people who took a little nip of the alcoholic beverages. That's happened, too. In 1856, the Know-Nothing Party abolished secrecy, so I guess they, since they were Know-Nothing, there was nothing, no secrecy anyway. In 1861, Jeff Davis, who served, I think, in Franklin Pierce's administration as Secretary of War, he was inaugurated as the Confederate's president of the Confederacy, I think, in Montgomery, Alabama. Then they later moved the capital to Richmond. In 1884, General Gordon arrived in Khartoum. Now, General Charles Gordon was known as Chinese Guard Gordon, the British general who went to China to help put down a revolt. He had quite a reputation. He was gay. He later was sent by the Prime Minister Gladstone to try to suppress the tribes in what is now, I think it's Mali or Ethiopia, they keep changing the names. He was later killed and beheaded, and there's a famous movie called Khartoum starring Charlton Heston. Now, Charlton Heston was from Illinois. Now, I understand that Professor Dolly Thornton may have coached him. She was a graduate of Northwestern University School of Speech, and she did some tutoring on the side. Rock Hudson may have been another of her students. We know for sure that Marilyn Kim Novak was, and of course myself. In 1885, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens published Huck Finn. In 1922, this judge from Kentucky, known as Kenshaw Mountain Landis, he retired from the judgeship and became baseball's first commissioner. In 1925, the first of the Teapot Dome scandals. Now, Teapot Dome is an area in Wyoming where the U.S. Navy kept its oil reserves so they could tap them in the event that oil was cut off from abroad and they would have oil for their battles, for the battleships. I think Denby, he was involved with several other people, Albert Fall, the senator from Arizona. Now, that's an interesting name, Albert Fall. He fell on his sword. And then we had a guy from Union Oil out here in California. And Denby, I think, was the Secretary of the Navy in the Harding administration and was a major, one of the biggest corruption scandals in U.S. history, in the presidential history. And in 1922, also, the United States and Canada established diplomatic relationships. Canada was part of the British Commonwealth at that time. And in 1968, Trudeau negotiated a deal where Canada was part of the British scheme of relationships, but Canada was, in essence, under his administration, was going to go its own way. In 1939, the Golden Gate Exposition opened on Treasure Island. Those of you who've been out here, Treasure Island was a U.S. Navy base. It was all landfill, and we don't know what's going to happen come the next earthquake. In 1943, the German resistance group of young college students known as the White Rose, there's a famous movie and several books about them, they were captured by the Gestapo, and they were later beheaded. Excuse me. And in 1972, the first woman appointed Chief Justice of the California State Supreme Court, Rose Byrd, was appointed by then-Governor Jerry Brown. He's governor again now three times. I hope this is the last. Her court abolished the death penalty here in California. And also on this day is supposed to be Muhammad's death. That's celebrated in Iran. Now, one of the things about Lincoln that's not that wasn't well known was that he loved music, and of course he did dance, and we do have that audio excerpt, but we're going to play an excerpt from what was I was told was his one of his favorite operas. He used to go to the opera even during, well, he was a war president, and to take a break, he would go to the Academy of Music in New York, and this is one of the operas that he liked. It was written in 1858 by Giuseppe Verdi, who was a Republican, and it's about an assassination of a king. But it was people were really nervous about assassinations because there had been a lot of upheaval in Europe just 10 years early in 1848, where several countries, the monarchies were rocked to their foundations. And so the opera was banned in Boston, and so Verdi changed it to Assassination of Gustav, Swedish King. Now, here's an excerpt from the opera, and, of course, it has that little sinister music feel and flavor about it.
Thank you. ti prepari figlio, ripensando ai caduti per te.
Cosa in pace?
Come speri discelso l'abbrio sulle tombite vicino a me? No, no, come speri discelso, discelso l'abbrio sulle
Lincoln would be tapping his feet to that one. So in with our usual theme, politics and poker, and we'll be back Wednesday with an update on this proposal that the people who want a gay Boy Scout start their own group. That's Freedom of Association. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. And, of course, as I said, I don't know if Lincoln played poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither games for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrades.
There's a lot of trades these days. We'll be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. We were running late again today and had to install some new equipment. This is Peter Paul Bezola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night. Stay safe.